grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 16. I read for you again these words of Jesus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. The last words Martin Luther is reported to have written were, "We are beggars. This is true." I dare say that most of us don't consider ourselves beggars. Instead, we're much more like the rich man that Jesus talks about, though we might not think so. For it's only natural to look at things the way the world does. And the world looks at things with a skewed vision. The world proclaims, as do many within the church, that bigger is better, that the more money, wealth, and possessions one has, the more blessed one is. The world preaches that if you do the right things, God will bless you with all kinds of worldly stuff. The world admires those who have succeeded in acquiring wealth, prestige, and status. And who among us has not dreamed, or maybe at least considered, at least once, what we would do if we won a huge lottery jackpot? So the world would tell us that the rich man had it made. He was a success. He surely did all the right things. He was blessed beyond the wildest imagination. He dressed in only the finest of clothes all the time. He ate only the most sumptuous of foods all the time. He had nothing but the best that the world offers, and he had an endless supply of it. He wanted for nothing. Yes, we'd probably like to be like him, or at least have more than we do now. And it's probably safe to say that we surely would not want to be like Lazarus, a beggar who lay at the rich man's gate. He was covered in sores, and the dogs licked them. He was perpetually hungry, hoping beyond hope to receive even crumbs from the rich man's table. In the eyes of all, he was a loser, a bum. He was pitiful and worthless. He must be the most cursed man on the face of the earth. He must have done something really bad for God to punish him like that. We'd want nothing to do with him either, and we certainly don't want to be like him. But then, something happened that should cause us to reconsider things. Like all sinners, both the rich man and Lazarus died and were buried. The rich and the poor, the healthy and the sick, the favored and the despised died. There's no difference. except what happened to each at or after death. While we're told that Lazarus was taken to Abraham's bosom, the rich man, we're told, simply died and was buried. But now things are different. The rich man is in hell, in eternal, unending torment. Lazarus had been taken to heaven, to Abraham's bosom. The roles had been reversed. The rich was brought low, and the lowly was lifted up and exalted. And this, in a measure beyond imagination. So the rich man, suffering the torment, the fire of hell, begs Abraham to send Lazarus with a drop of water on his finger to cool his tongue and grant him some relief. Of course, this can never happen. Once one enters his eternal abode, it is permanent. There's no chance to get from hell to heaven, and there's no threat at all that anyone in heaven would be cast out into hell. The state of faith or unbelief in which one dies is sealed forever in death. So, how did this come about? Was the rich man in hell simply because he'd been rich? Is having money and wealth damning? No. But the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And the Pharisees, we are told, were lovers of money. Like the rich man, they seemingly had it made. They saw the poor and sick around them, that is, sinners, lying at their gates, and they lifted not one finger to help them. Rather than help the poor and sick in their misery, rather than comfort the forsaken and distressed with the promises of God's word, they considered them lower than themselves and condemned them. The Pharisees looked upon them with scorn and despised them, even ridiculing Jesus for receiving sinners and eating with them and the tax collectors. And so we see that the greatest evil of all is to reject God and His Word, to despise Christ and His saving work. Unbelief, refusing to hear and believe God's word, is damning. That's why the rich man was in hell. That's also why he wants Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers who are still living. He didn't want them to suffer as he was. He thought, as many do in our day, that if some miraculous thing happens, then people will believe in Jesus. But he's told that if his brothers would not listen to Moses and the prophets, they would not believe even if someone should rise from the dead. And of course, this was a prophecy of our Lord's resurrection. But if the rich man's brothers, or the Pharisees, would not believe Moses and the prophets, who pointed to Christ as the promised Messiah, the only Savior of the world, if they would not believe the truth made flesh, who was standing right in front of them, they would not believe even when Jesus himself rose from the dead. Such is the persistent state of unbelief. But what about Lazarus? Did he go to heaven simply because he was a poor, miserable, sore-ridden beggar? No. He went to heaven only by the grace of God. For that's the only way anyone goes to heaven. You see, this is the only parable of our Lord in which a character is named. And this is not accidental. For the name Lazarus means, God is my help. His name says something about him. It declares that Lazarus trusted in God and his mercy, no matter how bleak his earthly situation. He believed and trusted in God's word and promises, no matter how much shame and disgrace or pain and suffering he had to endure. He was a true child of Abraham by and through faith in Christ. He was taken to Abraham's bosom because God looked upon him with favor, neither earned nor deserved by Lazarus, and gave him peace, eternal peace. He was exalted to the heavenly feast, which has no end. He was dressed in the most expensive, luxurious robe of all, Christ's perfect righteousness. He received the wedding garment bought with the price of Christ's holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. So it is that this parable points us to Christ. For he is a certain rich man who emptied himself and took on the form of Lazarus, being made in the likeness of our sinful flesh. He gave up his riches in heaven to become a beggar among men. He who was rich came down from the heavenly palace and was born in a barn. He had no place to lay his head or call his own. He, too, was surrounded by dogs, as the psalmist declares, "For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Jesus heeded Moses and the prophets, as we are unable to do. And in his passion and death, we see the epitome of beggarliness as he bled and thirsted and died without mercy. He bore our griefs and our sorrows as our sins became open wounds in his body. He became the beggar who suffered the worst this world can give, even being cursed and forsaken by his Father, that we might be raised to heaven. He suffered the eternal torment of hell, that is, being eternally separated from God, when he was forsaken on the cross. And this, so that we would never suffer that ourselves. We are beggars. This is true. We are sinners through and through, deserving nothing but eternal suffering and torment. We are beggars who, like Lazarus lying at the rich man's gate, can do absolutely nothing to help ourselves. We are beggars who likewise have been given the name Lazarus because God is my help. In our baptism, God placed his name and promise on us. Through his word, God has created saving faith in us. By his strength, grace, and mercy, he has caused his word and promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation to be preached to us. And he has caused us to believe it, to trust in it. He has washed us clean and clothed us with His own holiness, that we might feast at His banquet table forever. He feeds us with His own body of blood to nourish us until we too are taken to Abraham's bosom, where we will eat at the Lamb's table forever. He gives us all we need to support this body and life. And He gives us all that we need to support our body and life in heaven. And this, not because we deserve it, but only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. God grant to each of you such peace and comfort in all your trials, that you too receive the salvation of your souls. We are beggars, it is true. By the grace of God in Christ, you are the richest of beggars, for you are forgiven of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.